There's a story we wanted to talk about today, we're very pleased that Brock McGillis was able to help us juggle our schedule as we deal with breaking news. He is a former OHL goalie. He has been a big proponent of change in hockey culture. He's been at the forefront of the move to change hockey culture. And, of course, I'm sure you've probably heard by now that a class action suit has been launched against the Canadian Hockey League by Daniel Carcillo and Garrett Taylor, alleging, horrible mistreatment. That doesn't do it justice, but alleging mistreatment of players in the league. Stephen Brunt and Richard Deitch alongside me. Stephen, we had Daniel Carcillo on when we were doing a podcast that the name escapes me a while ago. And I got to say this is uncomfortable reading. I think there are people out there who are probably going to say, well, it's Daniel Carcillo, and just dismiss it outright. That would be wrong. A whistleblower can be a whistleblower, whether or not you like the person and happen to like his career, whatever. It doesn't mean that the message isn't accurate. It doesn't mean that the message doesn't need to be heard. Brock, thank you so much for joining us. I did want to ask you. Look, Brunt and myself are both old enough that we can remember covering Sheldon Kennedy's court case and dealing with Thorne Fleury's. You know, the issues he went through and having to write about it and having to sort of parse what was at the time a resounding silence from a lot of people in the hockey community. So I've got to ask you this. I'm going to ask you a question that Brent asked me. Is this, do you think, a snapshot of an event that happened 10 years ago? Or is this something that is still, if not rife in the hockey community, is something that is still very much a part of a young hockey player's career, hazing, things of that nature?
And hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Just, it's funny, I've been seeing that sentiment a lot. Well, this was 10 years ago. But, you know, when we think about Sheldon Kennedy or Thorne Fleury or the stuff with when their things came out, it was, well, that was, you know, 10 years ago. And then when stuff with guys like David Frost came out, well, that was 10 years ago. And then now we're seeing with this, or when we've seen with, you know, sexual abuse and different things, or like rape cases of players and different abuses of coaches and stuff. It's like, well, that was in the past. But then we saw a kid this week come out and say that cocaine was forced up his nose 2 years ago. You know, I have kids coming to me on a daily basis who are struggling within the sport of hockey, who I try and talk out of killing themselves. And the reality is, it still exists. It's just a little more, less overt, I would say.
So just to be, and again, I'm just going to, I brought this up earlier in the show, Brock, but, you know, because Brian Burke and Justin Bourne are on our station, both pretty woke guys in the hockey community, talking about this issue, and they did, you know, both pointed out that, you know, there are anti-hazing provisions within junior hockey now that did not exist 10 years ago, and there are, and also with university sport, we have had, you know, anti-hazing rules brought in, you know, and again, I can't speak for everywhere, but certainly if we had somebody from the Canadian junior hockey establishment here, that's the first thing they would say, which is we have tried to deal with this. So is that a legitimate argument or not?
I don't believe so, and I don't also believe it's just a CHL argument. I think this is, or a CHL issue rather. It's an issue from the NHL right down to 7-year-old hockey. I believe that you can't just punish and just put in rules to punish people for incidents that they don't even realize. Like a lot of the times, in terms of hazing or in terms of homophobia, in terms of sexism, in terms of racism, because hockey is such an insular sport, we don't even, you know, recognize the impact that it's having on the people that it's happening to. We don't realize the impact, the social impact of all of these things, and also the influence and impact of these players at elite minor hockey all the way up the ranks. And you can put all the policies you want. Like, I'll guarantee right now that Hockey Canada will start a task force and committees and whatnot. But until you recognize the issues, humanize them, and humanize them in a way that is done from people who have the lived experiences within the sport. Because the sport, the culture of the sport is so intricate and so insular that it has to come from the people who understand it. Otherwise, we get things like the trans lawsuit against the OHF, where they have a video that coaches watch, and then coaches who don't understand a thing about trans or could be transphobic or homophobic or anything else are then delivering it, the messages to children, which in my opinion can set people back even further, but it's something that was brought down by people from outside the sport. So until we humanize issues and then have educators who study, there's a lot of educators out there, Cheryl McDonald, Courtney Zito, Mark Ouellette, Christine Allen, I can go on, who study these different sectors within the hockey world, and specifically in men's hockey. And until we get them putting together the education programs, and then that's followed up by breaking the conformity of the sport. It's so conformist that people just, you know, I tried to fit in. I was a gay man who dated women and tried to kill myself at night. And I don't know what it's going to take to shift this so it's not just more committees and panels and rules. Is it going to take kids, you know, taking their lives? Is it going to take more lawsuits, which I, you know, wish it wasn't happening, and I wish this wasn't a thing. But is that what it's going to take for the entire sport to reflect? Because right now I think everyone's pointing the finger at the CHL saying how bad they are, but this is a systemic issue throughout hockey culture at every level.
Brock, I work with somebody at The Athletic named Katie Strang, who sort of specializes now in abuse allegations among youth sports. She just wrote about abuse allegations inside the USA Hockey Sled program. And so I want to ask you if you think this could provide change, because one, I believe this is, we've only touched the surface on this. I believe it's systemic. I don't think it's a one-off at all. And I think if we ever really knew the horrors that existed, I think it's almost unimaginable to me. But one of the things that I saw with the Larry Nassar case, and one of the things that at least seems to have provided real systemic change when it came to USA Gymnastics, is young people who were abused having the security or the safety to tell people their stories publicly. And in some cases, they'll do that obviously on their own social media feed. So I wonder if you agree that one of the things that really could get the systemic change going, and this is a horribly thing to ask young people, but it would be for more young people to either find reporters or to find their own venues on social media to tell these stories, because I do know that is essentially how USA Gymnastics basically got blown up, was because they just couldn't avoid all these young gymnasts who basically were telling their truths.
Yeah, I think it would definitely help. I mean, you know, they come to me. I know a lot of them have gone to Dan, and I know Katie does a heck of a job. Katie and I talk on a regular basis, and I think the world of her. There's a lot of fear because there's so much power and influence by each individual association and communities, let alone at the provincial, national levels or state and national levels in the U.S., that if a player comes forward and one player comes forward and then all of a sudden their career starts going downhill. Like I know a story of a parent of a 10-year-old last year who was complaining about coaches using homophobic language towards 10-year-olds, and the kid got cut and the coach is still coaching, you know, and it's so deeply woven into the fabric that if you speak, you will be ostracized. I get threatened to be ostracized by different levels of hockey on a daily basis just for speaking and not even exposing any of the horrific stories that come to me, just pleading with them to let people like me in the door to shift. So I think it's so deep rooted that these kids are afraid. And I think that's why we see numbers go down annually. I think that's why we see people wait, like even with the coaches in the NHL and Bill Peters and with Dakeem Alou and Mikael Jordan and a few people. It wasn't current players talking about it. Hmm. It was former players. Because it will impact your career if you speak out on anything.
Brock.
And for that matter, look at Dan Carcillo. Shouldn't Dan Carcillo be a change agent within the sport? Shouldn't they like say, hey, Dan, you've gone through this. Let's use your experiences in it to sort of shift it and humanize it instead of vilifying him?
Well, you have to wonder if maybe, you know, getting this into a court of law, getting stuff on the record and you know, hopefully holding people to account might make a difference. But you're right. As I said, you know, it's pay attention to the message of the whistleblower. Pay attention to what the whistleblower is telling you and overlook the others.
And here's the thing with Dan Carcillo. You know, people talk about his past, but he's very open and honest about it. And that's why I personally have time for Dan Carcillo. And I'm somebody, you know, who doesn't have a lot of time for some of these people because he is open and honest and paying a penance and wants to shift for the right reasons. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've tried. Like, I've gone to a major minor hockey association with a high-end professional hockey team and said, they will come in the door with me to start shifting it at your level.
Right.
And the association said no.